This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Let's have a nice, healthy debate, or at least outline what you could debate. Kind of all the sides, everything here to this. Harbaugh went for two at the end of the football game. He's down 20-19. There's 12 seconds left, and he tells you why.
Went into the decision-making to go for two instead of just kicking.
Try to win the game right there. We were pretty much out of corners, you know, at that point in time. So there's an opportunity to try to win the game right there.
Okay. Cam Hayward tells you his vantage.
I was a little surprised because I ran off the field to begin with. we called a timeout, bought me an extra couple seconds. At first I thought he scored because he like had it in his hand and then he dropped it, but man, you know, it's just, you know, one or two plays that go your way, and luckily we got the touchdown to keep them from, you know, using their great kicker they got just go down the field. But man, our guys just kept fighting. Was it pretty? No, but, you know, when those games come down to little things, that's the prettiest. That's the beauty of this game.
And Michael Tomlin tells you precisely what he thought.
We start with the premise in two-point football, and it's no secret, so I'm, you know, I don't care about sharing it, that people are not going to run it down there. And so we start with that premise.
Okay, so they work off of that premise.
Well, it's about sending everybody after the quarterback.
Correct. My thought is this. Totally the wrong call. I don't care if, and I said this before, if Haloti Ngata's your corner and that's all you got left. You have, because of a bunch of factors here, and again, even if they would have made it, I would have said I wouldn't have made that call. One, you got so much to lose in a 17-game season with home field advantage. The bye. You want to have a week off. And now you're in jeopardy of not having that. That's the first. But let's go micro into this game. You got the Steelers special teams, looks like kind of on the ropes a little bit. You had Boswell miss an extra point. You had Boswell kick a kickoff that just it went astray and askew, and he didn't look to be on his game, right? You also had a punter yesterday for the Pittsburgh Steelers that had one go out at the one, but other than that, he wasn't good. You then turn it to your special teams, and you have one of the greatest kickers of all time, who could seemingly kick a 75-yard field goal into the wind if he had to and win a game. So often for me, NFL games come down to NFL overtime games come down to a long field goal or a battle of who's going to go ahead and kick that long field goal, and I think that they had a huge advantage. On top of that, people will say, well, look, the play hit, that just didn't come through. I don't know if it did. I don't know if it was the right play call, and here's why. It may have been the right play call for a lot of people, and it may have been there, so to speak, for a lot of people. When has Lamar Jackson shown an ability to make that touch throw? Just because the tight end was open doesn't mean that that's the right play call for that team. He can't make that throw very often. He's a guy that's erratic, and he's a guy, his best throws, honestly, or when he just throws it a million miles an hour at someone. That touch throw, he doesn't possess.
Well, I'll start with the decision, okay? The decision to go for it. And I mentioned, I hedged earlier on this. I'll say this. If John Harbaugh makes that decision just based on, okay, this chart says I should do this because of win probability and forget the Hall of Fame kicker standing on the sideline 15 feet behind me, that's foolish. What is, if he really did not believe in his defense, though, to make another stop, whether it was because they didn't have enough corners or for whatever reason, maybe because he'd seen the Steelers come down the field and score 17 points on their previous three drives. If he didn't believe in his defense to make a stop in overtime, then I'll grant him going for the two. As for the play call, I think, you know, when you're down there and you decide, as Mike Tomlin alluded to there, you decide we're going to throw. You can't really have one of those, unless it's a quick slant where you're going to rifle it into coverage on the inside of the formation. You are going to have to go, you're going to have to look for something out in the flat, right?
You're
going to have
to look for it. No, you're not. Okay. Why can't, if you have one of the most dynamic athletes in the NFL, why can't you get him outside of the tackles?
I said if you're throwing, right?
Well, you can RPO and get him outside of the tackles and then decide what you want to do when you're outside the hashes.
Yeah, and I think the best play call in that scenario, again, I'm not saying it's the best play call. I'm just saying why it doesn't necessarily – I don't think he has to have a great amount of touch to make that throw there. It's because TJ comes in at the angle that he does. I think it should have been a run play, a designed run with Lamar Jackson. I think that's the way to go. He's the most talented guy on the field. You've got doubts in general about his ability to make throws in tight coverage. Especially after his performance yesterday and in general, his performance against the Steelers, I would have even more questions about it in that instance. And I would look to get him outside the pocket, as you said, but do it on a designed run.
Well, they had the Steelers defense on their heels after that 2-minute drive. And so I can understand why they would do it. I agree though, Colin, that I like the idea of, I mean, at the 2-yard line, and so he takes the snap at what, about the 10?
See, this is all secondary for me because I wouldn't have done any of it. I would have kicked the extra point. But if we want to get into the discussion about going for it,
right,
then you have at it.
Okay, you put the ball on Lamar Jackson's hands, obviously, and roll him out. And you had one guy over there, and TJ Watt made a nice play, and he beat his guy like a drum all night. And as Chris Wormley talked about, you know, there was a good play. TJ Watt forced an awkward throw.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of Lamar Jackson's throws look awkward. There were a handful of throws yesterday that were easy throws. They look like that they were just totally inaccurate. I just like the idea of giving yourself an option where, and I'm not talking about an RPO, I'm talking about rolling out where he can run to the pylon or he can dump it to a guy who's following him across
like
just
I
over the goal line.
I thought he could have evaded Watt all the way to the sideline and Watt wasn't going to catch him.
Like, yeah, once he gets to a certain point, you know, if Watt has outside leverage and forces him inside and there's help inside, I can't remember exactly what happened there, but I thought it was kind of cool to go for two.
Well, to follow the line of thinking, though, and again, I would not have done it at all. And another reason why is Harbaugh is beating the drum of my defense. I didn't have confidence in him. I didn't have any corners. Did he not just watch his offense in a real short time span go all the way up the field and have huge swaths of open field where his quarterback did find his receiver in the middle of the field at times? That, to me, would have been applicable to overtime as well. Like, I think that he forced it on his offense to make one play on the 2-yard line as opposed to just perhaps go 50 yards and get in field goal range.
Can I tell you what I think happened here? Harbaugh is a guy that, as Mike Tomlin pointed out after the game, likes to lean on analytics. I think in this case, he looked at the analytics. The analytics tell you, well, this is the spot to go for two. And reassured himself of that decision in looking at his bench and knowing his defense. Like I said, had just given up 17 points to the Steelers on their last three drives. I normally would be a fan of, hey, judge the situation, go with your gut a little bit, and then look at the analytics to see what they tell you. You go with your gut in that situation, you kick the extra point, you live to fight another day in overtime, again, with your Hall of Fame kicker, and you hope that your defense can make a stop. Or at the very least, if they don't make a stop, you hope that you win the coin toss and it's just a field goal that goes the other
right,
way.
Right, and that is, see, those are the factors, too, that I've weighed into my mind. I don't think Boswell was automatic yesterday. Because he had, I don't know what the heck happened on that extra point.
I think his plant foot slipped just a little bit, but man, it was just, the snap was, snap hold perfect.
Yeah, and then the kickoff, too, was just so atypical.
It looked like Harvin's punt, didn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, rolling out of bounds at the one.
And then let's say your defense does hold them. Harvin didn't have a track record yesterday of booting the football deep. It didn't look like he had a 65-yarder in him yesterday. Thus, I give my Hall of Fame kicker. Look, I trust Baltimore's kicker. I trust Tucker from 65. So that shortens the field. Again, it can go both ways, and I understand it. But That bye is so vital this year and so pivotal. I'd almost rather be buried for playing too conservative in that instance than doing that and coming up short.
But he's made his bones, Harbaugh, on being aggressive, both, you know, fourth downs, two-point conversions, and for the most part, it works for them, and it does get them an advantage. It backfired in this instance.
What killed them, I'll tell you what killed them, was the first drive getting a zero. To have the awful throw that Lamar Jackson made whenever they went right down the field, then he throws off his back foot in the middle of the end zone, and Minkah Fitzpatrick catches the football like a baseball center fielder.
Mm-hmm.
To get nothing out of that drive came back to haunt them the whole football game. That needed to be at least a field goal drive for Baltimore, and it stayed with them the whole game. To do what they did to the Steelers defense early and get a zero is unconscionable if you're the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah, and we've seen we talked about it. Well, every time they play, it's a field goal game.
Right.
And 3 points, sometimes it's like, oh, man, they had to settle for a field goal. In a Pittsburgh-Baltimore game, if you get a field goal, that's almost gold.
A punt's not a bad thing a lot of times.
No.
It's just not.
The one other thing I will say in support of the decision to go for two, because I know I've been hedging and sitting on the fence and going back and forth, in support of going for two, if they get a decent play call and they get a decent throw to Andrews, they are now unequivocally sitting atop the conference all alone. They've got a little bit of breathing space on that one seed. And not just that, but they buried the Steelers.
If the Bengals win, I bet he kicks an extra point. I wonder how that changes the dynamic of that. That's a result that's already
Because I had that thought that not that he was playing with house money. They're still tied for the best record in the conference. I mean, now New England might win tonight. But they're still right there for the number one seed.
Do you think that changes the dynamic? If the Bengals had beaten the Chargers earlier,
I think knowing how aware he is of everything going on, yeah, I think it could have. If the Bengals win, then he knows he's got to protect the division lead and he's got to play a little more conservatively.
Matt was ready to jump on.
I thought that right away. As soon as he went for two, I was like, yeah, this makes sense. I mean, they're up by two games in the division, and they're still going to be tied atop the AFC if they lose.
And again, the cherry on top, we bury the Steelers if we pull this off.
On the road.
Yep.
AFC North road action.
I just think it's so atypical by coach. And by the way, back to the Lions game, how about that guy going for it on fourth down in his own territory like 3 minutes before and totally screwing it up and then being vindicated, and everybody's going to forget about that today.
He's gone for it deep in his own territory multiple occasions this year.
There was so much bad football at the end of games yesterday and just decisions where you went, like the San Francisco game. As soon as the Steeler game's over, you flip over. San Francisco's on the goal line trying to go in, and they run a terrible play to try to tie the football game.
I will say this. I was going to save it for later in the week as we build up towards the Vikings, but since you mentioned the Detroit game, it's the reason I bet on Detroit this week. It was because Minnesota has one game this year they've played that hasn't been one possession.
I know.
So don't think you're going to get to go to bed early on Thursday night. Sorry, Jim.
Yeah, Jim maybe taping it and waking it up and watching it.
Doing the old 2 a.m. wake up call?
2 a.m. wake up. He liked those every once in a while. That's a big Stanley Cup playoff move for Jim. That's a gigantic Stanley Cup playoff move. He watched, you know how many Capitals-Penguins games he watched that started at 1:30 in the morning? A lot of them.
No, what was the game? Was it Kunitz scored in overtime against
Ottawa.
The Caps in like double or Ottawa double overtime? I'm like, this game's got to end pretty quick because I got to get going.
Jim, watch the one where they had those 19 delay a game penalties too, where they shot it up.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, there was that. All right, lots more to get into. We talk about Ben, of course. Is this a playoff team or is that just way too much too early?
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.